Give it up for Matt Gonzalez.
Come on, thank you. I'm going to come down here. If you guys help me, I'm going to come down here. I walk a lot, so praise God. Elevate Life Church, what's up? I mean, oh, God is so good. He is just so, so good. Well, as you know, my name is Matthew Gonzalez, born and raised in Stockton, California. And my wife, Desiree, is here. How many know? Would you just stand up, babe? Just wave to everybody. This is my beautiful wife. And she'll be up here in a little bit. We're going to do some ministry together. And I married up. Come on, somebody. Praise God. And one of my daughters is here, Riley. Riley, just wave to everybody, baby. No? Okay. We have four kids. We have a seven-year-old daughter named Hayden who was with us at camp. And I personally believe that when God gives the Holy Spirit to children, he doesn't give them Holy Spirit Junior. He gives them the fullness of that. And some of the youth can testify this. I brought my daughter with me, Hayden, to camp because she hears God. God speaks to her as he wants to speak to all of us. And so she was ministering prophetically with us at camp. I think it was my sister back there. She had saw a picture of her dancing. And the Lord spoke to her that there was a dance on her, and it meant so much to you, right? That was just awesome. Just cool to see children just going after God. You know, it's that childlike faith. And so a seven-year-old daughter named Hayden, we have twin girls, Peyton and Riley, that are five, going to be six. And then we have a two-year-old son named Gavin, and he loves to destroy things. He's a boy. He's all boy. I've been talking about buying him a crash helmet because he bumps into everything. He's just wild and crazy. And so we live in Stockton, California. And I'm just going to jump in. I was going to give an intro, but I just feel like God is doing some things already, and I'm so excited to be here. 7 years is significant. If you read Scripture, you understand that everything in God's kingdom happens in season. Seven means completion. It means end of one season, the beginning of a new season. Number eight in Scripture means new beginnings. So you guys are stepping into a new beginning. There's a new cross. Come on. There's a new crossing over that begins today. And this is so exciting. I just want to thank you guys for having us this morning. And Pastor Sergio and Tina, you guys rock. Thank you guys. This is just, come on, give it up for, you know, there's a statistic. It's usually people who start church plants, many of them don't survive within the first 2 years. I don't know if you know that. How many know this isn't a surviving church? This is a thriving church. Come on, somebody. Come on, give it up for yourself. I want to encourage you right now that right now is a time as believers in America to push past that which has been accepted to lay hold of the unexpected. And many times what happens, we tend to grab things that are just, well, you know, it's always been that way, right? It's just always been that way. But when you're a believer in the kingdom of God, things don't always have to be one way. Come on. Right now is a time to lay hold of the unexpected. Our God is the God of miracles, right? And he's going to do some even right now. And so I'm so excited. But one of the things I'm learning is that many times God wants to take us from the seat of expectation into the seat of anticipation. Let me explain this. See, expectations are right to start off with, but as mature believers in Christ, we don't live from expectation. Because many times expectation is actually rooted in entitlement. Okay. Are you ready for this morning? Tell your neighbor, let's get ready. Do your best, TGJs. Get ready. That was really bad, as you can tell. So there's a difference between expectation and anticipation. Expectation is rooted in entitlement and connected with assumption, meaning we usually have a preconceived notion of how things are going to turn out. When we apply this to God and how we expect him to move in our life, and then things don't turn out that way, it breeds disappointment. But when we have anticipation, that's way different. See, anticipation is rooted in hope and connects us with possibilities we could not imagine or even think. See, I remember the time we were on our honeymoon in Maui. And we end up going to this place called Big Beach. And when we got there, I'm thinking, like, there's nothing big about this beach. It was actually small. But I later found out why it was called Big Beach. So I'm out in the ocean, just swimming and not paying attention at all, right? And so I'm having a good time. Before you know it, my feet could not touch the water. And next thing you know, the water's just below my waist. And I'm thinking, like, okay, that was kind of weird. It dawned on me, like, wait, I was just swimming, not paying attention. Now the water's down. And you know what that means, right? There's a big wave coming. By the time it clicked in my mind that there was a big wave coming, I turn around and get hit by this crashing wave. And it just flips me underneath. And I remember watching a National Geographic show where it says most people actually drown because they're trying to swim and they're so disoriented they actually swim down rather than swimming up. So they say if you just hold on, you'll float to the top. So I remember that, floated to the top. I got up. I was disoriented. I'm like trying to make it back. And there's these two 12-year-old kids behind me laughing. So I'm getting kind of upset because I'm like, what are they laughing at? And then it dawns on me. I know why they're laughing. I lost everything. Like everything. And I'm like, where is everything? Talk about embarrassing moments. So I found everything. And I learned a lesson that day. Right? Sometimes a thing that is supposed to come to bring you enjoyment, if you're not anticipating, can actually bring more harm. And I want to propose to you that we, the body of Christ right now, are in a season of the greatest awakening and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But that which we are not anticipating can actually cause more problems. If you know anything about revival history and you study revivals, you understand some of the biggest opponents to a breakout, the move of the Spirit, or revival was the past revivals. Or, better yet, like, say it this way, I don't know if we want revival because those people coming in, they're smoking cigarettes and drinking. I don't know about you, but if they're going to lay their cigarette buds outside, right? Or they're still dealing with, I mean, I don't know about you, okay. When I came into the kingdom, I still had some baggage. Right? I got my ticket, but I still had some baggage. Come on, anybody there? And I want to propose to you that we're in a new season. You know, last September, the Lord really spoke to me and my wife about taking a sabbatical, taking a break from ministry, because we've been running hard since 2001. And we felt like the Lord wanted to really speak to us about the next 10 to 15 years of our life. And usually what I try to do at the end of every year is just get some time with the Lord to actually hear his heart for the body of Christ as a whole, because I understand one of my responsibilities is ministering to the body of Christ as a whole with what God is saying as prophetically. And I love what Pastor Sergio said, because this is so true. We believe in the fivefold ministry. But the way the kingdom works is what you see modeled is available for you. The same Jesus that's in me is the same Jesus that's in you. See, the model of the fivefold was to equip the saints and empower them. What do you empower them with? The grace that's on your life. So what you see ministered today here, and just a little bit, is not just for me. It's actually God saying, this is show and tell. I want you to see what's available within you. Come on, because I'm telling you what, the world's not looking for another definition of Christianity. They're looking for a demonstration. And many times the people giving the world the definition that's on film or just on the news, how many know sometimes those are... sometimes the media puts on the wrong people on TV to give a definition of what Christianity looks like in America. Right? And I got to tell you what, the world's not looking for definition. They want a demonstration. Because I can give a definition, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it's going to have a demonstration. But when I bring a demonstration, people are going to ask for a definition. Come on, somebody. And so during September of last year, the Lord said, I want you to pay attention to what's happening on the earth right now. I want you to pay attention in the media to things that are happening. And one of the things, I don't know if you've paid attention to last year, was more than any time in history, I actually did a study of this, there were more celebrity and athletes that passed away than ever before. It seemed like almost weekly a major celebrity was passing away. And I thought that was interesting. Like, all right, I understand people pass away, but Lord, this just isn't, this seems pretty significant, right? And so in September, I heard the Lord begin to speak to my spirit. He says, the body of Christ in North America has just stepped into a new epic season. Now, let me explain something. Epic, not meaning E-P-I-C, but E-P-O-C-H. What an epic season is in Scripture is a way God deals with his people during a season in time. Everything happens in the kingdom in seasons. How many know, even in the natural, we have summer, fall, spring, winter, right? And so an epic season is God's ordained time, or kairos time. That's what an epic season is. A kairos time, a God-ordained time for things to happen. Now, you see throughout Scripture two different times, chronos and kairos. Chronos time is earthly time. It's chronological. Okay? We've been held down to a chronos time. But then heaven has kairos time. And kairos time is God's time and season where he ordains things. Okay? So the way it works is we can be in a season of winter, but the heavenly time is harvest. And even though they don't connect, God can make that which is impossible possible here on earth during the chronos time in a kairos time. Right? I've met a lot of businessmen that are Christians recently, and they had a chronos time when the housing market crashed because they bought houses. Oh. Joseph's dream didn't come to pass until there was a recession in the land. Do you know that? We don't live according to the chronological time. We live according to the kairos time. And so we're in a new season. And so things began to happen last year. And I want to propose to you that you, Elevate Life, had just stepped into a new season. Oh, no, 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 no. You need to get excited. You stepped into a new season. Okay. This side over here didn't have their Starbucks. We'll try over here. How many of you just stepped into a new season? Unless you redeem yourself. You just stepped into a new season. Oh, they got it now. Tell your neighbor it's a new season. It's a new day. I'm going to give you something, and then we're going to go for this. How many we're already going for this? Speaking of Christine Kane said something in the podcast that I listened to that wrecked me around the same time. Christine Kane said, God is not doing the next thing. He's doing a new thing. Okay. Very interesting, because that phrase haunted me. Because if God was doing the next thing, then the last thing has relevancy to the current season that we're in. But if he's doing a new thing, then the last thing or the last way we knew how to do it is now obsolete. He's doing a new thing, not the next thing. But if we're still holding on to the last thing, then we can't take hold of the new thing. See, when Israel crossed over the Jordan, they stepped into a new season. The previous season had supernatural provision. You know that. Manna burgers from heaven. Quail. Waters, Dasani water cracked from a rock. Cloud by day, fire by night. Can you imagine? I mean, billion in the world is, you know how sometimes Christians have wilderness-itis. I'm just in the wilderness, brother. Hey, the Israel were in the wilderness and God still provided. Just because you're in a wilderness doesn't mean you have permission to have a poverty mentality. God still provided. But something happened when they crossed over the Jordan and stepped into a new season. No longer was God doing miracles for them. He wanted to do miracles through them. See, when God does a miracle, he gives us a backstage pass to see, to show us how heaven works. So that when the time comes, we're not just depending on God to do miracles. Actually, he sends us into people's lives to be the miracles. I'm going to take off running. I'm going to burn some calories today. What about Abraham? Abraham says, go. Or God tells Abraham, go. I have a new thing for you, a new land. Yet Abraham, not knowing where the land is, as God says, go. Can you imagine that? We know the end of the story. I have a land for you. He takes his family, he goes. How many of you, let's just break it down to natural. God speaks to you. I want you to move your family out of Sacramento. Go. Okay, that sounds awesome. Where? Just go. Just go. That don't make sense, Lord. Right? We know the story of Abraham, how it worked out, but we don't understand the actual situation he was actually in. What happens when God says, I have a new thing for you, but doesn't tell you what the new thing is? Can I propose to you, when he told the disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, he didn't tell them that you're going to get a new language. He told them there's a promise coming, a new thing, but didn't give them what it was going to look like. Here we go. Tell your neighbor, here we go. Think about this. Story of Nehemiah, I love it. The walls have been torn down for 152 years, and for 70 years the Israelites tried to rebuild it. And here comes Nehemiah at a chronos time and builds the wall in 52 days and had no knowledge on how to rebuild walls. I'm going to say that again. Okay. Walls have been torn down for the city, 152 years. 70 years, the Israelites tried to rebuild the walls, had no success. Nehemiah steps into a God-ordained season, Kairos time, and in 52 days, build a wall, which he had no ability or knowing and knowledge in how to build walls outside of being led by the Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, they go, who should know the mind of Christ that he should instruct God? But in the New Testament, it's a new day, a new season, it says we have the mind of Christ. Okay. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have access to the Holy Spirit. Everybody didn't have access to that. In the New Testament, we all have the same Holy Spirit inside of us, and it says we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is actually the Google of heaven. And better than Google, it doesn't just give you information. It actually can give you thoughts and ideas and strategies that have never been seen before. Come on, somebody. Let me read you a scripture, and we're just going to get into this. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 43:18. I love this. Oh, boy. He's doing a new thing. It's a new season. It's a new day. Elevate Life, this is a new day, a new season, a new chapter. One chapter's been written, the next chapter is being written now. And the possibilities are endless. If you got there, here we go. It says this, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, I've read that passage. I've taught on it. I preached on it. But until September, I've never seen something open up in that passage to me like it has now. And it's just blowing me away. I've always thought that when God does a new thing, will we not be aware of it? But when you look at and study this and break that, will you be not be aware of it down, it's not actually saying that God wants you to be aware of it so you can know it's the new thing. It actually means this. It comes from the word yada. Oh, man, I love this. The Hebrew language is far more cerebral awareness and insight. And it actually means this, to give yourself totally as a husband and a wife relationship in marriage. So what the Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. You first have to embrace it. Then you'll be able to receive it and recognize it. So you don't receive it because you recognize he told you the details of it. It says, when he says he does a new thing, you brace it fully without even knowing what it's going to look like Abraham. Why does this God project a new thing without giving us any indication of what's going to be or even what it's supposed to look like? Well, number one, he withholds telling us in order to keep us from trying to expect his ways and thereby limit him. Our part in his new thing is to let him work so that we can respond. When God says he's going to do a new thing, there's something very assuring about the fact that it will be done right. Yes. 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 Number two, if you take your notes, he doesn't tell us an order so that it frees us from attempting to try to drum up the faith for it to happen. If God told us the new thing he was going to do in detail, we would try to help him. And sometimes we would get in the way, and unbelievers would start giving us credit. What happens when you have a believer in a neighborhood and an unbeliever both being hit by recession, but the believer is having provision in recession? And you're like, okay, that the unbeliever is like, what's going on? What are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. You ready for this? Yeah. And thirdly, God wants to demonstrate his power over the impossible. Remember, Kairos time. He says he'll do a new thing. And look what it says. I will make rivers in the desert. When God does a new thing, he puts you in a place of impossibility so that he can make things possible that shouldn't thrive in that situation. Oh, boy. If you feel like you're in a tight place, you feel like your back's against the wall, well, then get ready for a breakthrough. See, the day we came to the cross to give our life to Jesus at an altar or wherever it was, something happened. He called us more than conquerors and overcomers. You're not going to be an overcomer unless you have some things you have to overcome. And notice how he says more than conquerors. So you know what that means? He doesn't want you just to conquer things. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. So more than a conqueror means dominion. So you know what that means? It actually means the day you receive Christ, you no longer have any problems. See, we understand that on the cross, he took all our sin, but I want to tell you, he also took all your problems. He inherit your debt, so that you could actually inherit his riches. So you know what that means? As believers, we no longer have problems but opportunities. That's why in James it says, count it all joy, brothers, when trials and tribulations. Right. From a natural perspective, that like, okay, I don't know about you, but you ever like had so much joy you want to jump up and down when you face the problem? Now we whine, we cry, we're like, Lord Jesus, help us. right? But there's something that happens when our mind begins to shift into his mind and we understand, you know what? That word counting all joy means do the math. It means when a problem comes your way, you don't have a problem. You have an opportunity because God's going to turn this into something that perfects you and equips you. So now we have to practice this, right? We get to have joy knowing that something's about to change, something's about to shift, something's about to happen. And I'm going to posture my heart in the right place. Come on, somebody. You ready for this? So here we go. Couple things you can look forward to. So as I'm watching this new season take place, I noticed a couple things. So this is pretty crazy. God says it's a new epic season. The next day I wake up, my phone notification goes off. I got to read this to you. This is pretty crazy. He said, old things are now coming to an end. New things are about to spring forth. Watch what happens in the news. Ringling Brothers and Bailey Circus ends its 146-year run. Oh, okay. You don't still believe yet, okay. Watch this. The Bell Foundry, the world's oldest bell creating company in England that built Big Ben and the Liberty Bell, has now shut their doors down. They've operated since 1570 and said making bells is now obsolete. No one needs them. We'll bring it local. The iconic Sequoia Tunnel Tree, 1,500 years old, brought down by a California storm, and they said what was interesting is it didn't tumble, it actually split in two. Do you know many times you can actually get a, if we believe as believers that the earth declares the glory of God, do you understand that we can understand season and timings by what's happening in the natural? Matter of fact, I want to propose to you that you guys are stepping as a church into a Sons of Issachar anointing where you're going to understand the times and know what to do. And I'm telling you, the world's looking for believers that know what to do in the times they're living. And you get insider's information from the Holy Spirit to know the times that are happening so you know what to do. Does anybody want that? Because this is where we're going. We're in a new epic season as a body of Christ. Do you know right now, this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation? And the Lord said it's the beginning of a new reformation in my body. And it's starting. You know how I know it's starting? Because it's already started in the world. If you watch CNN, you're going to understand something. I don't even like CNN. I don't really like news. I try to stay away from it. But CNN, Fox News, MN, I don't know what you watch, whatever it may be. There's a generation right now that wants reformation. But what's happening is they're standing for, they're being deceived and standing for what they're against. But God says, right now in my body, there's a reformation that's going to start within the young people. That they're not no longer going to stand for what they're against, but they're going to be known for what they stand for. Okay. Right now, there's people saying, this is what I'm against. Don't even know really the history behind what they're against. But I got to tell you, there's reformers that are being raised up, clothed in humility, that will look like Martin Luther King, who won't tell you what they're against, but will say, I have a dream. No. And this isn't, come on, it hurts my heart when people say, God's going to do a revival just with the youth. I'm like, I'm no longer young, so does that mean I'm out of it? No. When he talks about generation, he talks about the whole generation. But just a couple things that are happening right now. And look, regardless of your political view, another sign is that we had a president become president that had no the media. There is no way he was going to win it. Right now, we're watching history unfold before our eyes. Anybody see the Super Bowl? Never before has there ever been a game like that. And the response right now. See, there's a theme going on. I don't know if you're paying attention to the theme that creation's crying out right now, trying to tell us believers what God's doing. That which seems impossible is now going to become possible. Any Golden State Warrior fans? Well, last year the Cavs came back from something that seemed impossible. I'm a Warrior fan. I'm just, I hurt. But if you look throughout sports history, even last year, there's a theme. The impossible become impossible. We're in a new season and a new day. So it's one thing to tell you that we're in a new season, a new day. It's another thing when God gives a demonstration of that. And so what happens is many times, the Bible says God will always confirm his word. Begin to pay attention to what's happening on the earth right now.
Praise God. Give it up for Pastor Matt.